Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Tonight is Christmas Eve, and at this time we should be focusing on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ 2,020 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea. But whether directly or indirectly, this program is always about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that Jesus Christ came to be the King, to rule the nations, to set up a kingdom, to enlist citizens from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. Revelation chapter 5. As Jesus said to Pilate, "You say correctly that I'm a king, for this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. In Revelation 19:16, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Magi came to Jerusalem to ask, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? They understood the purpose of the Messiah, to set up a righteous, everlasting kingdom. Do we understand these things? If we do, then Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Or Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. Or Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And Matthew 24, 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, we think of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and so he is, but we often forget that he's also our King. Maybe we don't think in those terms because we don't live in the age of medieval kings. It just sounds so political. It sounds so earthly. Or maybe we think that kingship is just a Jewish concept. But God has taken the form of a man and has entered into human race. And the Lord Jesus Christ will have a physical kingdom in this universe. He will rule as our Lord, our Savior, our brother, and our King. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Or how about Psalm chapter 2? But as for me, I've installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you're my son. Today I have begotten you. I hope in all of our discussion about current American politics, we have not lost sight of the goal. We are citizens of Christ's new kingdom. We are sent into this world to be ambassadors, to be recruiters for that better country where righteousness dwells. Hebrews chapter 11, we are looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And we desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. America is not our main goal. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called our God, for he's prepared a city for us. And how about 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Not just a better America. Remember Ronald Reagan's famous quote, America is the last best hope for mankind on earth. We understand that he was speaking in terms of earthly nations, but really America, though it's been used of God, is not the last best hope for mankind. The only real hope is Christ and his kingdom. At the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin looked at the chair that George Washington was sitting in, And carved onto the back of that chair was an engraving of the sun. And Franklin wrote, "I have often looked at that behind the president without being able to tell whether it was a rising or a setting sun. But now I know that it was rising." Well, actually, Franklin got it wrong. It was a setting sun. Because biblically, every nation has the sentence of death in it, just like every person. The moment we're born, we begin to die. And remember the verse we discussed this year in a previous program about the founding of Jerusalem. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 31. "Indeed, this city has been a provocation of my anger and wrath from the day they built it, even to this day, so that it should be removed from before my face." And that was Jerusalem, the city of the people of God on earth, yet even it could not measure up to God's righteous standards. Natural man cannot please the Lord, because the city of man is filled with people who are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. How much more does America fall short? And how much more has America been under the wrath of God from the day it was established? God has a better nation planned for us with better citizens. Hebrews chapter 12, the spirit of righteous men made perfect. And God has for us a better king, Jesus Christ, the mediator of a new covenant. So therefore, any of our work to save America from her corruption should only be for the purpose of advancing Christ's kingdom, to win souls for Christ. And if not, our labors are in vain. We're merely polishing the brass on the sinking Titanic. The goal is to be getting people off of the ship and into the lifeboats. Yeah, I get it. While we're getting people into the lifeboats, some of our work is to slow down the leak in the bottom of the ship. But that is only to give us more time to get people into lifeboats. That is not so that we can fix up the ship so that it can sail indefinitely. What do I mean? Well, as Christians, we may lobby for righteous laws in this land so that America does not become a dark, dystopian state, so we still have the freedom to preach the gospel. But the end game is never to save America perpetually. The goal is the kingdom of Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Have you ever read those words of Jesus in the context of how we are to engage in political activism? Too much conservative political activism is earthly, fleshly, sensual, Christless. Now, we appreciate the push for righteous laws, but to leave out the kingdom of Christ and the gospel of Christ is not only an exercise in futility, it's also a lie. The only reason this program, God and Country, chronicles all the nonsense going on in Washington is simply to awaken people to the sin and corruption in this world so that their salvation and deliverance would be found in Christ and his kingdom. So, have you become a citizen of Christ's kingdom by faith and repentance in Christ? Or as Paul preached to that politician, King Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26, have you turned from the dominion, the kingdom rule of Satan, to the kingdom of Christ? This world is not our home. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 13. "O Lord, our God, other masters beside you have ruled us, but through you alone we confess your name, King Jesus." So now let's talk about what's going on in the kingdom of man, some more updates on the election nonsense. You know, I'm not going to disappoint and leave off talking about the latest developments, but let's remember the purpose for exposing all of this corruption. So I have three stories which illustrate the depravity of the kingdom of man. First, the Voter Integrity Project. Second, the Trump campaign's appeal of the Pennsylvania case to the Supreme Court. and the voter machine audits. First, the Voter Integrity Project. After the November 3rd election, Matthew Brainerd saw the irregularities and started a project called the Voter Integrity Project. In order to do a forensic review of the 2020 election, to see if the marginal number of votes given to Biden in the election were actually legal. In every election, there are illegal ballots. People who are non-citizens vote. People who have moved out of the state vote. Felons vote. But what happens if those illegal votes are greater than the margin between the two candidates? The election should be overturned. The election shouldn't be certified. Now, according to Brainerd, historically, a third party has never done a serious forensic audit of an election. Why? Because it's too expensive. It's too time consuming. Often the marginal victory is so great that finding a few fake votes is not going to make any difference. And few people have the expertise to do this kind of investigative research in regard to what it takes to audit an election. I mean, where do you start? Well, in steps Matthew Brainerd. And of course, we've all heard of Matthew Brainerd, right? No, we haven't. Because he is another one of those unknown people raised up by God with the skills and the motivation to be at the right place and the right time to do the work of God in this world. His bio, Matthew Brainerd is originally from Georgetown, South Carolina, and is a graduate of George Washington University. He has worked through three election cycles at the Republican National Committee as a political analyst, and has also worked as an analyst for pollster Frank Lutz. He is an Ironman triathlete. He has advanced open water diving certification, and he is an award-winning short fiction writer. He is the president of the Brainerd Group, which provides services in voter targeting, polling, fundraising, and web development. And so while some conservatives are at home watching reruns of Gunsmoke, Matthew Brainerd is busy. And being busy, he's ready to be used of the Lord. So Matthew had some ideas about how to audit this election and to detect fraud. And after suggesting to his 200 Twitter followers and to other experts what needs to be done, Matthew found himself being the one doing it with a team of 9 other people. What they did was look into voter rolls to target and physically call voters. They found people that the state recorded as having voted, but these people under affidavit will say they did not vote. He found many fake signatures. He found people who received absentee ballots when they didn't request one, which is actually against the law for the state to send that out. In Arizona, 44% of the people who got absentee ballots didn't request one, and it was 13% in Michigan. Then Brainerd looked into people who changed their address by comparing the voting records to post office change of address cards. These people would then be voting in the wrong state or the wrong district, or worse, someone voted for them at their old address, knowing that they had moved out of state. Thousands of voters fell into that category. The project also found people who double voted in two states, and found people who used P.O. box numbers on their voter registration, which is actually illegal. You actually have to have a physical address. And many of these people did this with the intent to deceive, because they would put above their P.O. box number the names of fake apartment complexes. And of course, these people overwhelmingly voted by mail. Can you guess why? Then in Wisconsin, they have very strict absentee ballot laws. To get an absentee ballot, you have to register as indefinitely confined. You're a disabled person. But in this election, there was a spike of 170,000 people registered as indefinitely confined. And the Integrity Project discovered that at least 44% of these voters lied. And in regard to Wisconsin, one of Trump's lawyers James Troupas testified before the Senate last week that 200,000 votes in Wisconsin are not valid according to Wisconsin election law. That's 200,000 votes out of the 3 million votes cast. That's far above the margin of Biden's victory. And by the way, did you actually hear that last week the Senate was holding hearings on voter irregularities? It wasn't covered by the news. The Washington Post covered it with this title, Republicans Still Pretending There Was Election Fraud. Quote, on Wednesday, Senator Ron Johnson, Republican Wisconsin, chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, presided over a kangaroo court that set out to show the election was somehow tainted. The event was fact-free and dishonest. Johnson called election lawyers for the Trump campaign who failed to prove fraud in a single case, as CNN reported. The Washington Post made a bold-faced lie. Actual evidence of voter fraud was presented in these hearings. But we are living in a 1984 dystopia where the news media is actually working for the Democrat Party. Isaiah 56, his watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs, unable to bark. Oh, and also yesterday, Donald Trump gave a 14-minute speech making the case for election fraud, why he is opposing the seating of Joe Biden as president. None of the networks carried this. Well, back to Brainerd and the Voter Integrity Project. The project concludes, the United States cannot have any confidence in the 2020 election. The number of illegal votes surpasses the margin of victory in Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona. And the Integrity Project has hard evidence to prove it. And the Brainerd Group has filed suit starting in Georgia. Headlines. Analysts file suit after discovering thousands of illegal ballots in Georgia. Quote, Brainerd signed an affidavit that will go into one of the lawsuits on voter fraud in Georgia. This affidavit contains a ton of verified evidence on the voters' irregularities in the Peach State. The affidavit has about 500 pages because it includes the names and the addresses and the voter IDs and the date of birth of all the people who cast illegal ballots or in whose name the illegal ballots were cast, and had other anomalies such as registering at fake addresses that they were able to determine. The evidence presented in the affidavit, as per Brainerd, will not leave a lot of room for doubt on the manipulation and the cheating that happened during the recent election. The affidavit will push legislators and state officials to act on the obvious attack on our country's voting system. Brainerd also indicated that maybe this is the first time that his group's work, is taken into the courtroom where it will be seriously considered. He says he's very optimistic that their work will bring about a difference once the court looks into it. Well, Georgia's election should actually be overturned. Biden allegedly won the state by just 10,000 or so votes, and there is irrefutable evidence of way over 10,000 fraudulent votes for Biden. But here's another interesting part of the Voter Integrity Project story. When Matthew Brainerd was raising money for his project through GoFundMe, he raised $220,000. To help cover all of the expenses of the phone banks and buying the research and paying the researchers. Well, GoFundMe shut them down and returned the money to all of the donors, claiming that the Integrity Project made false and misleading claims. Yet the Integrity Project never said that Trump won. They never said that they were trying to overturn the election. They only stated that they were going to do a forensic analysis of the voter base. GoFundMe lied in order to have an excuse to shut down the Integrity Project for political reasons, because it's a left-leaning company and they don't want fraud exposed because they don't want Trump to win. people on the political left, they talk to each other and they plotted to stop Matthew Brainerd. So Matt had to go over to a Christian funding site, GiveSendGo, and there he raised $590,000. And by the way, Matthew Brainerd personally is not gaining any money from this. So let me just share you four stories not related to this election that explain why the left is doing everything they can to get rid of Trump. First, the Trump administration is now withholding $200 million in Medicaid dollars from California because California has passed a law requiring all insurance companies to pay for abortion. The federal government has warned California over this last year that that is a violation of federal law. So the Trump administration can now respond by withholding federal funds from California. And for this reason, the political left wants to get rid of Trump. A second story, President Trump just appointed 18 conservative leaders to his 1776 commission, which is a governmental agency to teach history and counter the lies of the New York Times 1619 Project, which depicts the founding of America as racist. And the left hates this new 1776 commission because the left really wants to undermine the Christian heritage of America. And the left also hates the fact that Trump has stopped the federal government from paying for racist critical theory employee re-education. A third story. Trump is seeking to overturn Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act. That's the section that allows social media giants to operate as providers and not publishers, so they will not be sued for the content people put up on their site. But now that these social media giants are censoring conservatives, they should lose their Section 230 status because they're now acting as private publishers rather than just being neutral providers like the telephone company. Now, just yesterday, Trump vetoed the National Defense Funding Bill, saying he will not sign it until the House and the Senate take away the Section 230 status from these tech companies that are censoring conservative speech. So this is why tech giants such as Facebook and Google and Twitter and YouTube want to get rid of Trump, because Trump will take away their power to censor conservatives. And this is why YouTube, owned by Google, says it's going to take down any YouTube that questions the results of the election. They don't want Trump to win, so they want to hide any evidence of election fraud. It's really outrageous that when Donald Trump sends out a tweet, Twitter thinks that it must refute what Donald Trump says with a label, such as "this claim about election fraud is disputed," or the label "election officials have certified Joe Biden as the winner of the U.S. presidential election." Notice this recent tweet from the president where President Trump actually gives footage of a poll worker scanning the same ballots multiple times, and yet Twitter says, without any proof, that this is disputed. Now, on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical, you notice that YouTube is adding a disclaimer to any of my YouTubes on the election. The disclaimer is, the Electoral College has confirmed Joe Biden as president-elect. States have certified the results after ensuring ballots are properly counted and correcting irregularities and errors. Now, they didn't flag me last week because I titled the program Barbarians at the Gate and left off the subtitle Questioning the Election Program or Part 6. I also didn't put any description or mention of the election in my description. So this week, I'm going to do an experiment. I'm going to put the title, Question the Election, Part 7, in the YouTube picture, which is just a JPEG, but I'm going to leave it out of my HTML title. Let's see if I get flagged. But why are they doing this? Well, they want to stop any challenge to Biden's presidency But actually, by adding these labels, they indict themselves. They make themselves look foolish. Anyway, back to stories concerning why they hate Trump. Number four, Trump will not sign the COVID relief package because it's not a COVID relief package at all, but a pork barrel spending for leftist bureaucrats. From Just the News, Pork City, the absolute crazy stuff in the 5,593-page COVID bill. In the bill, hundreds of unrelated legislative items negotiated by leadership to win support for various constituency. It includes extending tax breaks for the alcohol industry and motor speedways, comprehensive energy legislation, revised copyright rules, approval of two new Smithsonian museums, and lesser penalties for transporting water hyacinths. There's also an entire section on Tibet, including a statement on U.S. policy on how to determine the country's next spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama, and the decriminalization of the use of the Swiss coat of arms. Among the most controversial facets of the bill is $250 million for the Palestinians. So this is what we need in a president. Someone who will drain the swamp in Washington, but that's why they want to see President Trump gone. The battle against President Trump is not because of his personality, but because they hate his faith-based conservative policies. Now back to election stories. The second big story about this election is that the Trump campaign is appealing the Pennsylvania case to the Supreme Court. Headlines, Trump goes to U.S. Supreme Court to ask justices to reverse Pennsylvania election case. This represents the campaign's first independent U.S. Supreme Court filing and seeks relief based on the same constitutional arguments successfully raised back in 2000 in Bush versus Gore. And I hope you realize that not one court has heard the evidence of any of these suits. None of them have gone to trial. The evidence has not been heard. Why? Well, because the judges know that these states violated election law. And if the courts follow the law, they will have to rule in favor of the Trump team, and that would be politically incorrect. And who would be the defendants in this case, or these cases? The states, election officials. And these people do not want to give account for their actions. Notice how even Fox News depicted the story of Trump bringing the Pennsylvania case to the Supreme Court. Quote, Trump campaign takes fight over Pennsylvania election ballot laws to Supreme Court. President Trump still refuses to concede the outcome and continues to promote allegations that there was massive voter fraud. Refuses to concede and continues to promote allegations. Rather than the headlines being Trump works to verify the integrity of the election. So, the PA case is being appealed to the Supreme Court because Pennsylvania judges wouldn't hear the case, claiming it was without merit, even though there was evidence, clear evidence, of illegal voting and illegal procedures on the part of these election boards. So again, we're seeing that justice in this world is based more upon political expediency and political pressure than what's right. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Or Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's. But in the kingdom of man, there are unjust judges. The third main story here, the forensic audit of voter machines. Remember, there was an audit of the voting machines in Michigan by the Allied Group. It's a Christian company. And the audit found that Dominion machines were not secure. 68% of the votes went to adjudication by some unknown operator. Well, the audit of the Georgia Dominion machines was by a company called ProV&V, and they found that there were no problems with the machines. Headlines, No sign of foul play found in audit of Georgia's voting machines. Pro-VMV, based in Huntsville, Alabama, is a U.S. Election Commission-certified voting system test laboratory, meaning the lab is qualified to test voting systems to federal standards. Well, we come to find out that Pro-VMV is not a neutral actor. They are the company that certified the Dominion machines in Georgia in the first place. And a company that was paid to certify the integrity of the machines is not going to then turn around and say that the machines have no integrity. The Pro-VMV audit said they found no signs of cheating. Well, the same was also said by the Christian firm doing the Michigan audit. But the Michigan team said that there was no signs of cheating because the cheaters had erased all of the data. The point is that the machines cannot be trusted. There's no audit trail. And Pro-VMV didn't even discuss that issue. Here's an article explaining that the Pro-VMV article only said that the machine software was the software that Pro-VMV previously certified. In its audit, Pro-VMV confirmed that all the software and firmware on the sample machines was verified to be the software and the firmware certified for use by the Office of Secretary of the State. All 18 devices we tested were running the certified software. So what? This audit was absolutely useless. Giuliani is now calling for a forensic machine audit of every battleground state. But the point is that in these audits and in this controversy concerning the integrity of the election, some people only see what they want to see. Those who want the Democrat, Joe Biden, and his leftist policies say that there's nothing to see in this election fraud. Those who want the Republican, Trump, to be president and his conservative policies say there's everything to see. Just like in the days of Jesus, the Sanhedrin saw what they wanted to see, and the followers of Christ saw what they wanted to see. Not that truth is relative, but men who love the darkness rather than the light will suppress the truth. They don't want thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They want to fight King Jesus. Like Herod, who killed all the children in Bethlehem because they were threatening his power. Here's an article that sums it all up from the website The Stream, which has its subtitle, Equipping Christians to Think Clearly About Political, Economic, and Moral Issues in Our Day. The article is entitled, Stonewalling and Intimidation, Democrats Not Interested in Showing the Election Was Clean. That sums it up. So what does all this mean in the light of Christmas? Well, Jesus Christ came to bring what God's people have always longed for, a righteous kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And this has always been the hope of God's people throughout the ages. Just as Zechariah said about Jesus in the temple, Luke chapter 1, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemy and from the hand of all those who hate us. Christmas is all about the arrival of the king and his kingdom, and it will conquer. The prophecy of Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all of these kingdoms, even America, but it will itself endure forever. So during this Christmas season, let's remember that in our battle for righteousness, in these earthly kingdoms of men, we ought to detach ourselves from being too connected to this world. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As it is right now, we are aliens and strangers in this earth. Let's remember our true citizenship, that Christ came to start a new kingdom and to be the Redeemer King for a new sort of people. A people born again, a people filled with the Spirit of God, a people who have their very natures changed. You know, the kingdom of God has been inaugurated. And for a limited time, you are invited to leave this world, to be saved from this perverse generation and become a citizen of heaven. You say, how? Well, by repenting of sin and unbelief and confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, and your King. Thank you for including God and country as one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Don't forget to subscribe, to like, to leave a comment below. Rejoice in the King and His kingdom, and may Jesus Christ reign.